PHA, and we urge you to get involved in our section.
All right, I'm actually not part of the work that I'm presenting. Unfortunately, Fadi, who's a colleague in my faculty, the Faculty of Health Sciences at the American University of Beirut, was unable to make it. This is, however, I felt that this was a learning experience for me to be to engage with this work through presenting it. Elizabeth is a sociologist. So this is multidisciplinary work looking at the public health workforce. Now, the objectives of this session, there are no conflicts of interest in relation to this session, this presentation. The objectives here is to define the public health workforce, review some of the evidence on this, highlight some of the gaps and outline areas for reform. Now, the methods that this study was based is based on a literature review to try to understand what public health workforce means. That's a priority. And actually, it's quite a learning experience to see that it's that the subject that there's a lot to be said yet about the subject. Perhaps the international section can pick this up, Amy. Mm-hmm. There's very little on what public health workforce mean in international context.
Correct.
It's fascinating work. So, thank you, Fadi, for allowing us to highlight this to the international aspects. Based on the literature review, there was a critical assessment of existing frameworks and definitions of the public health workforce. This led the group to develop a framework that we put to you for critical reflection and discussion. There was some secondary data analysis based on various documents and reviews of the relevance of available data on health, human resources for health in the region to discussion of public health workforce. So, the best that I understand is that there are tensions in the international literature between various definitions of health workforce. The public health workforce is a term that's trying to edge its way, so to speak, in a crowded field, but not very successfully. Health workforce, human resources for health, continue to dominate the field. But the problem with that is that when there's a discussion of the health workforce and the human resources for health, it's biomedical providers. It's not public health. So this is a cause, so to speak, and I hope the international section picks this up, and I hope some of you are also working in this, and perhaps you can contact Fadi and others who are working on this subject. Now, the public health workforce, as you know from this wonderfully colorful group that's here, works in different places, in different settings, does different things. There's not one definition that fits a public health workforce. However, we do have three international definitions that can be useful, and the approach to these is interestingly different. In Canada, they divide them into regulated and unregulated, with biomedical providers under the public health workforce, but they're in the regulated realm. So all of us would be unregulated. And I feel wonderful not to be regulated under that field. I'm unfortunately regulated under the cardiology hat. The Department of Health in the UK proposes a different definition, which many would argue is actually one of the highest level of sophistication of consideration of public workforce in the world, which is a specialist. You'd have to be really, this is where you almost go through a four-year course to become a trainee, a full-fledged trainee in the public health, having gone through the health systems, trust, and all that, and you become a specialist, and you become a fellow of the Faculty of Public Health, the Royal College of Physicians. They're changing this now so that it's not just limited to physicians, but this is where you actually spend time in policy units, you spend time in financing units and others, and you get hands-on training in public health. A unique model in the world. Unfortunately, the U.S. has not adapted this model. I think the U.S. now mostly in the get the degree and then learn on the job afterwards, which is how I've...
The MPHs.
So this is where the UK has developed the specialist model versus the practitioner. The Commission, the European Commission, has proposed a definition, but it has it's a more or less a broad umbrella that includes a lot of different workers and specialists. So what Fadi and colleagues propose is a model that's a multi-layered model. At the center is population health, and surrounds it are different specialists, different categories of public health that we know of, researchers, academics, the health management, the environmental health, all of these. And then at the outer layer are the various biomedical providers. Now, the disconnection between the different biomedical providers is to show that it's actually this is not fully integrated. So what Fadi are proposing through this framework is that the public health workforce needs to show vertical and horizontal integration for this to be the effective framework that it can be and how it can be operationalized. Looking at the data, unfortunately, the data is predominantly focusing on biomedical providers. About 25% of the health workforce in the region are in the health management and support workers, which is, as we've agreed, is just one category of the public health workforce. The region, about 9 countries in the region are in health workforce crisis. So you have, these averages don't necessarily address it all. It ranks second after sub-Saharan Africa in terms of density of health workers. So a lot of work to be done there. There's obviously the expected disparities, urban, rural, gender, and all that we are going to review in just a little bit. Physician-nurse distribution is particularly problematic because of the tendency for overproduction of physicians, as I will just saw in a second. So this is the data, same data as before, but reviewed differently for nurse density up on the upper line and the I don't have a pointer and the lower density on the pink line. And I'm happy that he picked up physicians to be pink rather than nurses to be pink. Good job. It's reverse gender coloring. I like that. Interestingly shows that the countries that are either export countries, so Jordan, Syria, these are export countries, countries that produce a lot of physicians, a lot of nurses, and others that supply them elsewhere, actually continue to have reasonable densities, but the countries that do reasonably well also are the import countries, the Gulf countries, whereby 60 to 80% of the health workforce might be expatriates from other countries, from the region and elsewhere. Are the import countries, the Gulf countries, whereby the health workforce, both in terms of the biomedical workforce and the overall public health workforce, can be identified in various areas, starting from the development of policies, planning, forecasting the public health workforce, having units, human resources for health units in ministries, moving to leadership and bringing together various partners. You can't work alone in the Ministry of Health to do this. You need to work with the partners, academic institutions, many other partners in order to really develop an effective human resources for health policy. To, of course, management, improving the quality of life of health workers, especially nurses, but also many other public health specialists who actually continue to this day feel being on the lower echelon of a health workforce. There's a very little recognition attached to working in public health, and there's very little understanding among both the public and other biomedical providers of what a public health person does. The areas of maldistribution, what is commonly referred here as disparities, can be identified in many areas. We'll list here just a few: urban, rural, for example. You will obviously that you will see the expected is that in a low income country such as Yemen, the only low income country in actually the study. Where about 55 to 60% of the population still lives in rural areas, only 12.5% of the physician density is in those areas. So really, as would be expected, and as is seen in sub-Saharan Africa as well, this is a tremendous challenge for public health, and of course. I'm not going to go through this whole number, but you will see this in other areas as well. Interestingly, if you look at the row that's titled Environmental and Public Health Officers, you will see the same, or even worse, distribution of in terms of focused in urban areas, mostly Minister of Health. So they work in the central ministry or in the main governorates or district offices of the ministry. There's very little public health capacity in the field. This is a great problem, because we have seen that in this particular country, for example, and a lot of the work originated from this country, it shows that frontline public health work makes a tremendous contribution to improvement of public health. It's not just the policy in the central office. This is private public. I'm not going to dwell on this. Of course, the male-female distribution is as would be expected. In Yemen, to take the example, 82% of physicians are males. It's actually in that country, and I've been there quite a few times, it's actually this means actual limitations of access to health services. Why? Because many women would not go to the doctor without the presence of their husbands. So this is just one example into this big realm of challenge. Issues of production. I'm not going to dwell on this, suffice it to say is that countries have seen variable improvements in health worker density over time. So, and the countries that have done the best are the countries who were able to buy the health workforce, and the countries that have had seen tremendous population growth that have allowed it to produce. So both import as well as export countries have done so. Many other challenges, as I said, very limited projections of needed public health workforce, an essential public health function tool. How many public health workers do you need in the future? How many physicians do you need? How do you develop policies that ensure the competency? In many countries in the region, in actually most countries in the region, in the post-colonial state, many physicians trained in countries abroad. So they went to North America, to Eastern Europe, to Western Europe, and what you have is a very diverse health workforce that you have not assessed whether they practice a minimal standard. Everybody's practice is minimal standard. So if you bring a certificate and you say, I trained in this country, and you get a license and you pass a test that's actually a very easy test, doesn't set the minimal standards in the view of many, you're licensed to practice. But we don't allow this here. We don't allow it in the UK. It's not allowed in many countries, including in middle-income countries. So there's something to be done about ensuring competence and performance. These are busy slides. The last two slides are reflection slides, and I'm not sure what to summarize in the next minute. But perhaps let me highlight a couple of points that are particularly important to me. Is that there are very few platforms that bring people together to discuss the health workforce. And why do I say this? Why do I choose to highlight this particular point? Is that this is the entry to a serious critique of current policies, practices, and an indispensable entry to the next to a way forward. I would have very much liked to be in any regional forum on that discusses the issue of the human resources for health. And the Eastern Mediterranean region has actually launched a human resources for health observatory, but it's safe to say that this is more of a depository of data than it is a launching pad to serious discussions and collaborations in the region on this subject. In the Eastern Mediterranean Advisory Committee on Health Research, we see very little research coming on the human resources for health. So it's an acknowledged issue, but remains under the radar screen. Thank you very much. I hope I stated.